1 John 3, verse 1. Behold, look, wow, look at this. What manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us. What love? What? What, John? What is it? What makes you say, look? That we should be called the sons of God. Can I paraphrase that for you? Whoa! Check out this kind of love. Check out this kind of love. It makes you family. Yeah. Amen. It adopts you and takes you in like family. That's one of the things I love about local churches.
Yes.
If they understand who they are, that they're family, they become sometimes closer than natural family. Natural family walking in the light of being in God's family makes them even closer than that. But see, church people get to know one another and become a part of a local church, and we're family.
Yes, yes, sir.
And we all have one Father.
Yes. Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That doesn't mean everybody in the world all has one Father. The world says that, but that's not true. Jesus said to some of the most religious people of his day, you are of your father, the devil. But when we talk about father, and when Jesus was talking about Satan being their father, we're talking about the father of spirits. Remember, we read on last Wednesday night there in Hebrews chapter number 12, we've had fathers of our flesh that corrected us. Shall we not much be rather in subjection to the father of spirits and live? God has created every human being on the planet, but some have fallen into sin and spiritual death, and God is not their father. I should say all of us fell into that, but we've been born again, born from above, not of the will of flesh, not of the will of man, but of God. We're born of our Father, God, and that makes us his children. And that makes him, being that this was his idea. Tell your neighbor it was his idea. That makes him assume all the responsibility of parental concern and give himself to the eternal care of his family. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. This is one of the reasons Christians struggle in receiving from God, because they don't know him as daddy, as father. They know him as, you know, a hard, distant God that's cold and insensitive, and, you know, he's not caring, loving, he's not close, he's not intimate, he's not concerned with their affairs of their life. But that's not who he is. Hallelujah. You know, really, what God has become to us has nothing in the world to do with religion. Religion is as far as the relationship we're in with God, religion has nothing to do with it. Zero. It's relationship. It's fellowship. It's not religious. The Lord gave me a song one time. It's not religion. It's relationship. Amen. It's not a form or creed. It's not your good deed. It's not religion. It's a relationship. So we can be sure of is that as our Father and the one who has given us life, I'm talking about eternal life now, as our Father, you and I can trust him to take the proper place of a father. Amen. And take a father's place. And he'll perform a father's part in our lives.
Amen.
Amen. How many of you know he loves us?
Yes.
He cares for us.
Yes.
You and I've got to go over and over this and over this and over this. We live in a cold, disconnected, unrelational world. We've got to go over this and over this, because the God of this world out there is pushing more and more separation amongst people. They don't interact anymore. They don't know their neighbors anymore. And it's just becoming everybody in their own little world. And that is directly opposed to what God has planned for his children. He wants us to know him in fellowship and know one another, and to be in family, to receive from one another, really receive from one another what our Father has given to us. Amen. The comfort that I have, I can comfort you with. Amen. The supply I have, I can supply you with. The encouragement that I get from him, I can give it to you. And we can know our Father better by fellowshipping with one another than we ever will on our own. Because I can get to know him personally through prayer and faith and reading the word and so forth and so on. But so can you. And you have a knowledge of him in areas that maybe I don't. I have knowledge of him in ways maybe that you don't. And if we'll stick together, I can share with you, you can share with me, and we'll all know him better. Somebody said, what's the big deal? Faith is in the one you know. You don't trust people you don't know. You don't trust God when you don't know him. When you get to know him and know his care, you will not fret or worry or have any anxiety about anything. You'll cast your care on him. You'll be joyful. You'll be a person who receives freely and gladly and without condemnation, without making apology to anybody for it, because daddy has it and he said, it's all mine. Hallelujah. So if you want to learn more about this, just get out a highlighter or something and start reading the Gospel of John and the Epistle of 1 John. John knew some things that Jesus said about his Father even more than some of the other writers. And if you want to just get a electronic Bible dictionary or electronic concordance or something and just put in and get in the New Testament, put in Father, you'll find most of them are in 1 John and the Gospel of John. Yeah. Over and over and over again, Jesus talked about his Father. And you can meditate on it in many different places. But anyway, let's get into this a little bit more here. Did you see what he said there? Behold. 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 Check this out. However you want to say it. Take a gander at this, you know. I don't know what kids say today. We that's how we said it when we were growing up. Look at this. Look at this kind of love. Notice he said, what kind of love? Notice what manner, we'd say, what kind of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. I woke up the other morning, and this is the way the Lord said it to me. He said, you can say it this way. Whoa! Check out this kind of love. Amen. It makes you family. Oh, yeah. It adopts you and take you in as family. And then another verse he started talking to me about, I woke up that morning, was in Romans chapter number 8. Romans chapter 8. Let's look at it together. Go over there. We'll look at verse number 15. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. Say, I have not received that spirit. I'm telling you, it's strong in Eastern Iowa. Well, we don't receive that spirit. We have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. But all us as children, we have received the spirit of adoption. Amen. Whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That's the Spirit that's living on the inside of us. He's crying out, Father, Father. And He's imparting to us a sense of sonship and an awareness of our Heavenly Father. Amen. John 1:14, the Bible says Jesus was the at that writing, He was the only begotten of the Father. Then you get over into Romans, and it says, Romans 8:29, whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be, Jesus might be, the firstborn among many brethren. God was Jesus' Father. And it said there in John that He was the only begotten of the Father, but that's not true anymore. He used to be the only begotten of the Father. Now He's the firstborn among many brethren. Many brethren, or in other words, many sons, making us brothers and with Jesus. Wow. Woo. Firstborn among many brethren. Jesus was the firstborn among many brethren. You know, there's no such thing as firstborn unless there's a secondborn and thirdborn and fourthborn and fifthborn. If you come to me and say, hello, I want you to introduce you to my firstborn. Now, that tells me there's another one around here somewhere. And so whenever it says they're firstborn, he's talking about firstborn from the dead. Revelation 1:5 says Jesus is the first begotten from the dead. I like the song we sang on Sunday about, I can't quote it all right now. It talks about, you know, Jesus came to be born once that we might be born again. If you shout about that, it's because you don't understand. It's not true. Someone said, not true. What do you mean? We sang it. Isn't it true? We sang it. No, it's not true. Jesus came to be born once that we might be born again. Not true. What do you mean? We're born again, aren't we? Yeah, that part's true. But being born once is not true. Jesus was not born once. He was born twice. He was born once in a manger, and the second time, born from the dead. This verse said so, Revelation 1:5. Jesus is the first begotten from the dead. Begotten means born. And that's not the only verse. There's other verses that say Jesus was born from the dead, which proves He was spiritually dead and had to be born again. Somebody said, I've been born of God. Well, you were dead spiritually and born spiritually, but you were born first time of your parents, not of God per se. I mean, he put your spirit in there, you understand? But you understand what I'm talking about. Born physically, Jesus was born twice. He was born physically once, and He was born spiritually once. He was born from the dead. I know people have struggled with that, but that's their problem, not my problem. And so we could tell you much about that, I kind of like the song, but I don't know if I want to sing that Jesus came to be born once. Most Christians don't understand that Jesus was born from the dead, that Jesus was spiritually dead. Most Christians don't understand that. In fact, there's been small wars fought over that. You're saying Jesus was spiritually dead? Well, the Bible said, my God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Amen. He took our sin. He didn't sin. He took our sin and died spiritually under our sin. The Bible makes it plain. Let me just read another verse. I don't know how quickly I can find this, but I believe it's in 1 Timothy. Another verse that's very, very interesting along this line. Let's see here. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. Who is that? Jesus was manifest in the flesh, justified in spirit. seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up in the glory. Notice that. Justified in spirit. You know what justified means? Made righteous. Why would Jesus, who was never, had never sinned, need to be made righteous? Because he was made sin for us. Justified means made righteous. That means there was a time he had lost his right standing with God. He had to be made righteous because he had been made to be sin for us. And the wages of sin is death. Now people misunderstand that again. They think physical death. No, that only came in as a result of spiritual death. The wages of sin is spiritual death. Dead spiritually means separated from God. It also means no longer have the nature of God. Amen. And Jesus had to be justified because he died spiritually. Now, that's what people fight wars over. Well, no, Jesus didn't die spiritually. Somebody said, well, he didn't die spiritually. Then I tell them, okay, if he didn't, then you will not go to heaven. Somebody has to pay the price for our sin. If he didn't pay that price, then then you got to pay that, because the wages of sin is death. Somebody's got to pay somebody's got to pay that penalty. Thank God he did. Thank God he did. Anyway, that's all free. We could take a whole, we could preach from that on that from now to the end of the year, but there's a lot of frothy, light stuff in the body of Christ that people just skim the surface of the truths of God's word. They don't really understand what's going on. They don't understand what happened from the cross to the throne. They don't understand that Jesus went into hell. The Bible said so. They don't understand that he was under Satan's dominion. Amen. Even lower than the angels for a little time. Lower in rank in the spirit for a short time. Jesus, for a short time. When? When he was in spiritual death. When he was in hell. And there's a whole lot of things I could run circles around all the naysayers about it. Because the word's very clear on it. But anyway, he was begotten from the dead. And that's what he's talking about here. In our sin, we were begotten from the dead and went from our father being, remember he said, you're of your father, the devil. Jesus said to those religious people that weren't born again, you're of your father, the devil. We went from our father being the devil to being in sin, bound by sin, into our father being God by the new birth. And that's why he said, whoa, check this out. Check this out. We were dead. We were not family. We were outcasts. We weren't taken care of. Our daddy was a tyrant. He was cruel. He was a thief. He steals, kills, and destroys. And we were under his dominion, but we were translated out of the kingdom of darkness, put into the kingdom of God's dear son, and made family. And we're adopted. Romans 8 says, we've not received the spirit of bondage again, fear, with the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And, verse 17, if children, guess what? If you're born of God, you're a child of God. If children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Oh. What does heir mean? That means daddy got it, so it's all mine. I'm not just talking about material things. I'm talking about right standing with God. I'm talking about holiness. I'm talking about the joy of the Lord. I'm talking about peace that passes all understanding. I'm talking about wisdom. I'm talking about counsel. I'm talking about knowing what to do in the tests and trials. And strength in our bodies, healing in our bodies, financial supply. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And he's given it to his children. He's given it to his children. It's all. Jesus said, all that the Father has is mine. Oh, that, see, he's basically saying, I'm his child and I'm an heir. Praise the Lord. That's why you can command anything you need to come. Because it's all yours. If you're doing without, it's not because it's not yours. Amen. See, now you're glad you came to church. So you can say with John, whoa, check this out. Oh, yeah. Check out this kind of love. It makes you family. It adopts you and takes you in like family. God has always wanted a family to take care of. Because of his fatherly nature and his fatherly heart, he delights in family. He delights in caring. He delights in being a father and caring for his children. Amen. That's always what he has always wanted. Amen. Somebody he could take care of. Somebody he could lavish himself upon. Somebody he could enjoy their fellowship. Do you know God likes you? He likes you whenever you come fellowship with him. It's just who he is. It's he is love. He can't help himself. He's your father. He can't help himself. He wants to take care of you. He wants to provide for you. He wants you healthy, wealthy, and wise. You know what I'm talking about? Now, Jesus came to reveal to us the Father. John 1:18 in the Amplified says, no man has ever seen God at any time. John 1:18, Amplified. The only unique Son, that was at that time, now we know there's many sons, or the only begotten God who is in the bosom, in the intimate presence of the Father. Notice that. Intimate presence of the Father. He shall declare him. In other words, he'll declare the Father. He has revealed him and brought him out where he can be seen. He has interpreted him and has made him known. Remember Jesus, because Philip said, Lord, show us the Father. This is in John 14:8-9. Show us the Father. He said, have you been so long time with me, Philip, and you don't know me? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Amen. I love what Brother Richard Roberts said about one time he was golfing. He's golfed with famous people. I forget who he was golfing with that time. One of the famous comedians back then. You know, comedians used to be clean. But anyway, he's golfing with them. And they're announcing him as one of the people playing the golf tournament. And they're announcing him over the PA system. And they announced him as Oral Roberts. And he laughed, Richard Roberts laughed, and then he said, that's all right, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Amen. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. In other words, that all those healings, that's the Father's heart. Mm-hmm. All the care, all the anointing, ministering, breaking yokes, and setting people free, that's the Father. And so Hebrews 1:3 also says that if you're writing notes. Now, the second thing about, when it comes to getting to know your Father, that's what we're talking about, get to know him as Father. The second thing that you need to understand is the ministry of the Holy Spirit is to reveal the Father's care over the lives of his children. The Holy Spirit, part of his ministry, in part, is the Father's care over your life. In other words, let me say it this way. His ministry is part of the Father's care over your life. You understand? Jesus, when he left, said, I will, John 14:16, I will pray the Father. Who? The distant God who doesn't care for us. No, I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter. In other words, the Father sent me. The Father, I'm going to ask the Father, and the Father will send you another comforter. Why? Because it's the Father's care over our lives. And that's John 14, 16. John 14, 26, just 10 verses later. The Comforter, I'm skipping some of the parts. The Comforter, whom the Father will send in my name, he'll teach you all things, bring all things to your remembrance, as I have said unto you. The Father. The Father. That's what I want you to get. Every time it says Father, I want you to take it out of God. Not that he is God. Don't misunderstand me. And we reverence him as God. But our God is our Father.
Right. Yeah.
Hallelujah. Yes, sir.
And he said, the Holy Spirit, the Father is going to send the Holy Spirit, and he'll teach you all things, bring all things to your remembrance. So the ministry of the Holy Spirit came from the heart of the Father. You understand that? In other words, he's God's plan. God's plan, the Father's plan for his children. His ministry is part of the Father's care over your life. In other words, his comfort. Remember, the Amplified brings out the Holy Spirit's sevenfold ministry. Comforter, counselor, remember? Intercessor, advocate, strengthener, standby, and helper. That's the Father's care in your life. No use being all worked up about anything. Go spend some time with your Father and let him console you, and let him encourage you, and let him strengthen you. I'd be a mess without the Holy Spirit, which came from my Father. Don't ever build a house without the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you, don't do it. So, but the ministry of the Holy Spirit came forth from the heart of your Father. Hallelujah. Praise God. Your Father's heart is to nurture your life, to guide your life into the success that the Father has. Daddy got it? It belongs to me. Success in every area belongs to me. And he sent a teacher and a guide and a nurturer into my life named the Holy Spirit to counsel me and guide me into everything that my Father's experiencing right now. Romans 8, verses 14 through 17 is the context of this, what he said here in verse 15, where he says, we've not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Did you notice that? But the context is the Holy Spirit there when it says the spirit of adoption. The Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit in these verses is mentioned, and the fatherhood of God. Isn't that right? Which tells you something about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. He will take you into the knowledge of your Father, God. He will help you to know the Father. Amen. Now, particularly, even more specifically, he doesn't just talk about the Holy Spirit. He talks about the inner witness. Amen. The inner witness is sent into your heart to guide you in all the affairs of life. Particularly into your Father's provision. That those provisions are called your inheritance. You notice what he's talking about here? If you're God's child, you're an heir. Verse number 17. If we're children, then we're heirs. Spirit bears witness that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Hallelujah. And so an heir is someone who has received something from their father or received an inheritance from their father. And so what he's talking about is the Holy Spirit is sent into your life to reveal the provisions that the Father has made for you and to guide you into it.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. To guide you into your inheritance. He's telling us that the Holy Spirit will bear witness with us about our inheritance and guide us into it. He won't just assure you that it is yours. He will show you where it is. If you're led of the Spirit, Jesus said to Brother Hagin in a vision, if you'll learn to follow the inner witness, I'll make you rich. That's Daddy talking. Hallelujah. Can I encourage you to do something for me in church? Can I encourage you to do something? Could you smile back at me? Thank you. I appreciate that. All right. So The inner witness, the Holy Ghost said this to me whenever I woke up that morning. He said, the inner witness is part of your Father's care over your life. Yes. Amen. This is one of the reasons the Bible identifies that it seems like God's not taking care of his children. They don't know to follow that inner witness. If they would learn to follow that, they would go into richness. Richness of joy, richness of peace, richness of wisdom, richness of finances, and the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Richness in every area. It's not a good father who has a lot but doesn't give it to his children. He's loaded, but his children are starving and don't have good clothes to wear. Amen. No, this is one of several reasons revealed in the New Testament why it seems like if you just look, but just by going by looking at some children, some of God's children, I'm not talking about, you know, God being a deadbeat dad, but if you look at some people's lives, some of God's children's lives, it looks like God's a deadbeat dad. Because they have not learned to follow the inner witness. I know it actually got to the place it was quite discouraging, and I had to say, Lord, help me with this. The number of people who don't follow what they know in their heart to do. It's staggering. Staggering. Amen. The people that tell me, I know we're supposed to be going to your church. Staggering. Come on. Yes. When we're in their presence, they say, Pastor.
Yes, yes. Yes, sir.
They know where they belong.
Yes, yes, sir.
Staggering.
Yes. Come on.
They don't follow it, so they don't get into what God has for them. It's not about this church. It's about the plan of the Father.
Yes.
Find out what your Father is saying and follow it.
Follow it. That's right. Amen.
Follow it. It might not happen by tomorrow at noon. That you start seeing all these things show up. But if you'll be faithful and follow the inner witness and don't override with your head trying to figure everything out, your Father will take you right into what he has for you. Amen. Also, you can see in these verses that it's the ministry of the Holy Spirit to guide that he will guide you out of the fear of your Father. Read it again, verse 15. We have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. You could put a little line over that by the word fear, up in the margin, put a line up to the margin and write of God. We've not received the spirit of bondage again to fear of God. Now, we've not received the bondage of fear of anything. Fear of lack, fear of anything. But the primary thing you can see here, he's talking about is fear of God. We have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear of God, but the spirit, we have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Can you see what he's talking about? And so the Holy Spirit's ministry will guide you out of the fear of your Father. Somebody said, I'm not afraid of him. Well, let me just say a few things here. How about the fear of rejection from your Father? You'll ask, but you won't receive. Huh? The Holy Spirit will lead you right out of that. Fear of approaching him to ask for what you need. Well, you know, I don't want to bother God with these things. He's your Father. I go to him with the littlest of things. The other day I had to drive my truck with a heavy trailer loaded down in the back with a machine. I had to drive right after that snow squall. I stopped for a few minutes. I just checked my spirit. Is it all right to go? You know what I'm talking about? I said, you're my Father. You take care of me. You know everything. You know what's best. You know what's wisdom, what's not wisdom. And I had the assurance to go ahead and go. I said, all right, Lord, I'll go. I said, but Lord, help me to just pay real close attention and see where the icy spots are and everything. And it was all fine. Because that might seem like a little thing. No, he's my Father. He's my Father. I mean, he doesn't want a fender bender. He doesn't want one headlight out. He's my daddy. Go to him. Don't be afraid to ask him. Don't be afraid to ask him. Don't be afraid of rejection and they'll say, oh, now that's not important. You don't know him if you think that's you're going to get that kind of rejection. Amen. The Holy Spirit will guide you into a bold, confident approach to your Father. Not arrogant, but confident. And the assurance that you'll be received there. Are you out there? Access to His presence to receive everything you need. In other words, the Holy Spirit will reveal the Father's heart in your Father God. It's a heart that cares for you and delights in you coming to Him and ministering to your need and counseling you. There's been times I've lost just little things. I said, Lord, where is that? And whoop, there it is. Comes right up out of my spirit. Amen. Let me. The other morning I woke up and I had a lot I had to do that day. And when I woke up, first thing I do in the morning, I turn my attention toward the Lord. And I just thank you, Lord Jesus. I worship you. And I thank you, Father. And so forth and so on. And I'm worshiping Him. And I had my day planned out, everything I had to do. There was a financial transaction I had to make that day that I had forgotten about. Totally forgot. I had put it in the drawer. Normally I have a system to where I keep things laid out in certain places so I don't forget and so forth and so on. And that financial transaction had to be made that day, but the cleaning lady had come, so I'd put it all in the drawer and in the manila envelope, and I had forgotten to get it back out. And I was going to go about my day and miss that transaction. I had to make it that day. Well, I didn't have to, but in order to not pay interest, I had to make it that day. And so I'm just worshiping Him, and I'm thinking about getting up and getting about my day, and the Holy Spirit rose up in my heart and said, you got to go make that payment today. I'm like, oh, thank you, Jesus. That's my Father. That's my Father. I'm telling you, He'll help you in the smallest of details of life. He's my good, 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 good Father. Hallelujah. He'll minister a sense of belonging. Amen. To your Father. A sense of acceptance. He'll minister a sense of being united to Him. Hallelujah. He'll guide you out of the fear of your Father, especially when you have sinned. We have not received the spirit of fear to approach God when we have sinned. That's not the Holy Spirit in your heart. That's condemnation of the devil. Amen. Are you going to go with me all the way to this? Go over to 1 John 2, 1. Excuse me, that's the verse Okay, 1 John 2, 1, excuse me. 1 John 2, 1, I want you to look at this. This is a verse you know, but look at it in the context of what we're teaching here now. 1 John 2, 1, are you enjoying this as much as I am? This is going to become a series. That's a message to the staff. I just said that for the staff's sake. They know what to do now. I just saved myself a whole lot of time right there. 1 John chapter number 2, look at verse number 1. Verse number 1. My little children. That's you. God still calls us all little children. You say, but I'm grown up. Compared to where God is spiritually, little children. These things write I unto you that you sin not. That's the will of our Father. But if any man sin, how many of you, he knows we might. It's not his will, but you and I might. We don't have to. But if any man sin, God's made arrangements for our Father. Excuse me. Our Father has made arrangements for that. Why? Because everything in our life has been taken care of. God has made provision for everything and anything. There's a way out of everything. And that includes sin. If any man sin, little children, my little children, these things write unto you that sin not. But if any man sin, we have an advocate with the righteous judge of all the earth. He is the righteous judge of all the earth. But the righteous judge of all the earth is Daddy. This thing's rigged. He's partial here. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Listen, the judge, he is the righteous judge of all the earth. The judge is Daddy, and our attorney is our brother, Jesus. They're pulling for us here. They are biased. They are very partial. He's leaning toward mercy. The righteous judge of all the earth is leaning towards mercy. So we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. So what do we see in this verse? This is what we see, that sin in the life of the believer is dealt with by God as a father. You have to believe this is inspired. It's inspired that he didn't write, my servants. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the righteous judge of all the earth. We do serve him. He is the righteous judge of all the earth. But we're sons who serve him. And the righteous judge of all the earth is our Father. That's inspired that that's written that way. Because he wants us to know God deals with sin as a father. And he handles each situation as a father would handle his child. Amen. He is the righteous judge of all the earth, but he's a gracious, loving, heavenly Father. He cares for us. He's merciful because we are his sons and daughters. We were his idea. You know, whenever parents give birth to a child, they need to remember this was our idea. Whenever that twinkle was in his eye and he said, huh, yeah. And that child was conceived. You got to remember, this was our idea. Whenever you're parents and have children, don't forget. Whenever you want to, yeah. You have to remind, no, this was our idea. We wanted this child. We did everything we could do to get this child. We love this child. We're going to care for this child. It includes spanking sometimes, but we're going to care for this child. Isn't that right? And so we are God's children. We were his idea. And he handles his dealings with us as a loving heavenly Father. When one of his children sin, God the Father deals with them with a father's heart. Did you hear that? With a father's heart. With a father's heart. They've broken their fellowship with him, but he still reaches out to them with the spirit of adoption. Romans 8:15. Did you remember what it said? We've not received the spirit of fear, but a bondage again to fear, but the spirit of adoption. Oh, give me some time. I'm almost done. My goodness. The spirit of fear makes you afraid of God. It makes you run from him when you sin. The spirit of adoption takes you in. Embraces you as part of the family. It says you belong here. You're one of us. We're not going to let the devil have you. I'm your daddy. I want you. I want your fellowship. I want you back in fellowship with me. I have a father's heart towards you. I care about your life. I don't want to see your life ruined. I want to be restored to fellowship with you. That's the spirit of adoption. When somebody is adopted, you got to realize this. When somebody is adopted, they are picked. When you and your husband and man and wife here, if you have a child, you take what God gives you. Right. When you're adopted, listen. When you're adopted, you're picked.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
That one.
Yes.
That one. Don't look at me in that tone of voice. That's higher than take what God gives us. We're born and adopted. We're adopted because God wooed us out of the family of darkness and out of the kingdom of darkness. He says, I want that one. I want that one. I want that one. I want that one. I want them. I want them. That's what the Lord, you heard me the other Sunday. Some of you didn't understand it. But the Lord said to me, I woke up one morning and the Lord said, I claimed your life. I wanted it.
Yes. Yes.
Now you understand why I couldn't control my emotions for a second whenever I said that, because it was real to me. And he said, I want that one. I want that one. It's not that there's people that he doesn't want. You understand? But see, what he's saying is that he woos people. He woos people. I want you. I want you. Hallelujah. Spirit of adoption takes you in. It embraces you and says, I want you in my family. I want to be your daddy. I want to take care of you. I love watching. I see these things from time to time. You ever seen a child? Well, I've seen. I watch these on YouTube sometimes because it's such a picture of redemption, where a foster child or someone is being cared for by another family, and sometimes at Christmas time, their birthdays or something, they will give them a present, which is the paperwork to become their legal parents. In other words, the paperwork to adopt them and make them legally their children. And I love watching those videos because those little children, sometimes they're boys, girls, you know, 5, 6, up to 14. I've seen them up to 18 years old. They open the paperwork and they read it and they're like, and tears start streaming down their eyes. And they jump up and give their new daddy a big hug because they always wanted to have a family. Somebody to count them as family. Somebody to love them. Somebody to want them. Because somebody else didn't want them. You know what I'm talking about? I saw one the other day on Fox News. A little boy was being adopted, and they go to the court and have the whatever proceedings there, and get it all made up legally. And a little boy was so excited about it. I think he was, just from the picture, I didn't read the story too much, but just from the picture, it looked like he was 6, 7 years old, maybe 5 or 6, 7 years old. He invited what age is kindergarten?
Five.
Okay, so he was 5. So he invited his entire kindergarten class to watch him get a daddy.
Yeah.
I'm getting a daddy today. Praise the Lord. That's the spirit of adoption. No wonder the Lord would paraphrase that verse. Whoa! Check out this kind of love. It makes you family. It adopts you and takes you in like family. That's what God has on him towards every one of his children and even those that have sinned. Here's our job, to learn to receive it. I'm almost done. I got to finish this. If I had to restart this next service, it wouldn't have the effect. So let me just say some things. We've got to learn to receive it. I absolutely love the response of the prodigal son in Luke chapter number 15 when his father offered him forgiveness, acceptance, and full restoration as a son. The prodigal son received it without shame. You remember what it says? If you read it later, Luke 15, 18 through 19, but the whole there's a long chapter there, but verses 18 and 19, he got to them, to the place he realized, I'm not even being taken care of as well as my father's servants. He said, I'm going to go back and I'm going to say, Father, I've sinned against heaven and earth. And he needed to say that. But then he was getting ready to go into something he shouldn't have said. He said, I'm going to say, I'm no more worthy to be called your son. Make me one of your hired servants. Remember, that's what he practiced on the pigs. He had a speech he prepared, practiced on the pigs, and the pigs went, yep, that sounds good. And so he went home, and he had planned to say that whole speech. But he got to the father, and the father saw him a great way off, ran, and grabbed him and kissed him. And the boy started in on his speech. He said, I've sinned against you and against God. And he needed to repent on that. And then he was getting ready to finish the rest of his speech. You read it. And he started out and said, I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. He started in with that. And he never finished the last statement. Make me one of thy servants. Because the father stopped him. And the Bible says, but the father said. In other words, the father said, you've repented. We forgive that. But none of this, you're not my son. None of this, make me your servant. I'll just work for everything. I won't have an inheritance anymore. No, we're taking you back in, and you're my son. Hallelujah. I love that. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Back in the pig pen, the spirit of rejection tried to get on him. Amen. I'm not worthy to be called your son. Make me one of your servants. That's what he planned on saying. But when the father offered him acceptance and restoration as a son under the anointing of the spirit of adoption, he accepted it. It's so good. I like what the father offered his wayward son. That is homey. That takes me in. I accept that. But even more in the story than I like what the father offers, I think I like the response of the prodigal son even more. He received it. I said he received it. For all the things that the boy had done wrong, he had one thing going for him. He knew how to receive. There is no bondage like the bondage of not being able to receive love. Did you get that? I mean the love of God directly for his children, or the love that he offers through others who know him. You need to reject the sense of unworthiness or fear of God's love or letting God love on you, just like you resist the devil himself. Learn to receive love. Somebody said to me one time, Pastor, recently, within the last year, Pastor, one of the things we just so appreciate about you is you know how to receive. Well, see, there's more to it than just us enjoying this life. It's helping others, demonstrating to others that God is this good. Come on now. If you don't go into some things, there's others that are watching you. How about your own children, for example? No bondage like the bondage of not being able to receive love. Amen. Learn to receive. Just wrong thinking to say you're not worthy. It's wrong thinking to say, well, I don't want to feel like I owe anybody anything. Amen. That doesn't please God at all. I said it doesn't please him at all. At all. Not impressed. God doesn't say, look how humble they are. Come on now. True love has no strings attached. Listen, if I bless you, give you something, because we've done it, and you've done it to others, and you don't owe me anything. I receive a thank you, but I don't even do it to get a thank you.
Amen. That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
I told Pastor Debbie after Sunday, I said, you know, we sowed some good seed today, loving on people and blessing on people. You know, there's a good number of them that said thank you, but there's some folk that are just, they just act like you owed it to them. Yeah. I said, my reward's not in their response. I didn't do it for them to thank me. I do it to show them the love of God, love of their Father. They need him. They need him. Just watching some of their, they need him more than they think they need him. Amen. But see, praise the Lord. There's no strings attached. Amen. Now, let's wrap this up by saying not just those that have sinned need to receive the spirit of adoption from their heavenly Father, but all of us. That's what's on your Heavenly Father for you as a child, whether you've sinned or not. Amen. It's also on the whole family, especially those that are getting to know their Father. I'm almost done. That's the spirit that's on this church, the spirit of adoption. Amen. The spirit of fear is strong here in Eastern Iowa. It makes people afraid of receiving. That's why they don't jump into local church. They don't commit. I mean, if they do it real slow. You know what I'm talking about? They call it being conservative, but it's bondage. When they know where home is, they ought to jump in. Family. Family. Amen. Others are just afraid of not being accepted. They feel socially awkward. Like, you know, somebody won't understand them. Somebody won't like them. I'm not like you. I'm not, you know, I'm not this. I'm not that. They're afraid of not fitting in somewhere. Afraid of not belonging. You know what I'm talking about? They're so used to being alone because of it and standing on their own without the love, support, and encouragement of other loving family members around them that they think it's normal. Don't know they're bound by fear. Amen. The spirit of adoption casts out fear because it's the spirit of perfect love. 1 John 4 says that, right? The spirit of adoption takes you in. It embraces you as part of the family. It says you belong here. You're one of us. That's what's on this church. People get shocked. They run in here like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Boy, this is a friendly bunch. I mean, we wouldn't stand out so much in other parts of the country, but in this part of the country, whoa, whoa, whoa. Whoa, check out this kind of love. Whoa, don't make your family. Amen. That's the spirit of adoption. Comes from our Father God. He did it for us. We're doing it for other people. We'll take you in. We'll love on you. Amen. We've got to learn, Eastern Iowa's got to learn to receive it. Amen. What are you so afraid of? Huh? Spirit of adoption says, pull yourself up to the table. Quirks and all, just pull yourself up to the table. Amen. Jump in the big middle of this church. Your family. Here, you're moving? Use my truck. We'll be over to help you paint the kitchen later. What color you want to paint it? You like pizza? I'm buying. I'll be over at 6 o'clock tonight. Help you paint. We're family. Some people don't even know how to act like that. I mean, or act around things like that. That's what's on this church. Amen. If God says this is your home and this is your family, learn to receive the adoption as family. Amen. Believe you belong here and jump in the big middle of this bunch. Amen. We'll take you in. Amen. Learn to receive the acceptance of others. I got to tell you this story before I quit. Pastor Debbie picked it up on her heart. I think it was about a year and a half. Well, probably about a year ago now. I think it was last year, actually, the Christmas banquet. Picked up in her heart, there was a single mom in the congregation that didn't have the money to buy tickets for her and those in her home. So she went to her and said, come on to the banquet, I'll buy your ticket. And this individual said, this single mom said, well, thank you, I appreciate that. But she said, I was going to come anyway. You don't know how that blessed me. You said, that's awfully forward. Well, how's family act?
That's right.
Come on now.
Hey, come on, amen.
Some of you religious people need to get over yourself. I love that. I still think about it. I still go, yeah. That's right. That's the way you're to go into your Father. I'm coming anyway. The devil said, I can't have this house. I'm getting it anyway. Hallelujah. I love that response. That's the person that has received the spirit of adoption that's on this church. Amen. She don't know how much she blessed me. Just blessed me. She knew where she belonged. She knew who her family was. She knew she was accepted. She knew she'd be received. She knew if she showed up, she wouldn't be rejected. She knew mommy and daddy wouldn't be able to do it. They wouldn't be able to say, sorry, you don't have a ticket. They knew that Pastor Debbie and I couldn't do that.
Amen. Praise God.
We'd get our wallet out if it had to be.
Yes, sir. That's right.
You know?
Amen. Yes, sir.
Love it. That's what you need to accept. That's what you need to allow operating in your life towards your Father God. I love that about Dr. Dufresne. He had that on him. Amen. That's one of the things I loved about him. He had experienced rejection in his life, and he took in a lot of preachers that, you know, otherwise their gifting would have been lost. And he loved on them and accepted them and took them in with the spirit of adoption. Amen. Praise the Lord. A lot of giftings were saved because of it. Well, did you get anything out of this evening? Get to know your Father. Get to know Him as Father. Hallelujah. The Spirit, as you get to know Him, you'll find that the spirit of adoption is on Him real strong. Real strong. And learn to accept it. Praise the Lord. Well, I got out what I wanted to get out tonight. I have a sense that this is something that is needed for us in our fellowship with God. Doesn't this change prayer? Change prayer. It takes it totally different. There's a whole side of this. You can stand with me. There's a whole side of this that Jesus, I'm telling you, you ought to go through John's gospel, especially John's gospel, but the epistle as well. And whenever he says, my Father, or Father, your Father, something like that, highlight it and start meditating on those verses.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Here's something you'll find come out of it. He would say, I and my Father are one.
Yes, sir.
All that the Father has, He has given me. Yeah. In other words, he was saying, this relationship unites us as one. Yeah. Basically, he's saying, I have everything He has. The Father does this, I do it. The Father works miracles, I work miracles. We're one, we're united. That oneness will produce a revelation in you that prayer is not trying to beg a God who doesn't want to give you something to give you something. It is simply going and saying, Father, where's our checkbook?
Yes, sir.
The one that's got your name and Son Jay Eberly on it. I have a need here. Where's our checkbook? I need to write out a check. You got it in the account, and you put you gave me the ability to write my signature on it. Because we're one. We got a joint account. We're heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. It takes prayer in a totally different realm than most people think of. Hallelujah, hallelujah.